Blog Talk Radio.
Another day. Thanking God for this 21st day, the first day of summer. Woo! We are in summer. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get hot. But you know what? Thank God for the fans. Thank God for the air conditioners. God for those swimming pools and the water and the showers and all that you need to stay cool. Thank God for it, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm rejoicing, and I'm glad in it, and I just want to say, Father God in heaven, thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us understanding of your word, God, and we ask you, Lord, as we ask every day, Father God, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We got some great words today. We have a great word today. Our word is coming from our New Testament word, deals with stealing from God. You know, you cannot lie. You have not lied to men, but to God. From the book of Acts. When you have a husband and a wife who think they can get away with lying to God. I sold everything I have, and here it is. Are you sure? Are you positive? You sold everything, and everything is right there. Absolute opportunity to tell the truth. But instead, they lied. And understand, you cannot do everything you want to do and think you're going to get away with it, because you cannot get away with lying to God. I say it again. You cannot get away with lying to God. Folks can lie to man. Folks can lie to everybody else, the IRS and whoever else, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your wife, your cousin, and your friends down the street named Boo Boo. You can lie all you want to them. Cannot lie to God. Because every time you try, God will mess you up. You cannot lie to God. And we know all through the word we've come through from Genesis to First Chronicles. There have been folks that thought they could get away with stuff. David thought he could mess around with Uriah's wife and get away with it. Didn't happen. Went through everything you can imagine. Son trying to take the kingdom. Daughter raped by your other son. Oh, your baby dying. Everything you can imagine happened to Solomon. I mean, happened to David because of his trying to lie to God. You know, when Nathan the prophet had to come and break it all down by the man with the U and the neighbor who had everything he could ever want. But instead of using his own stuff, he goes and gets the neighbor's precious U, kills it, and serves it to his guests. And when David gets indignant, he's going to kill him. He's going to this, he's going to that. And Nathan looks at him and say, that's you. With Uriah's wife. You got all these wives and concubines, but instead you choose somebody else's wife. You cannot lie to God. We already know what happened to Jezebel. We know what happened to Ahab. We know what happened to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Judah, to the tribes, all these 11 tribes of Israel. Because they lied to themselves that they could serve other gods. And then they lied to God. I'm serving you. I'm not in that tree. I'm not in that statue. And I was looking at an article on yesterday, and it was talking about different things that are happening, and it showed this man worshiping an idol. He was a Christian and he was worshiping an idol that was made to look like Mary and Jesus. In the European variety. And he was bowed down to this thing. And I'm like, whoa, buddy, it's idolatry. You cannot bow down to anything made by hand. You cannot bow down to idols. You can't lie to God or to yourself that you're serving God by bowing down to something that's not God. I can't go out to my apple tree and bow down to my apple tree and say, I'm worshiping God. As I'm praying to the apple tree. I can't go out to my car and bow down to my car and say I'm worshiping God. Then I'm lying and I'm an idolater. And I can't say, oh, I'm paying my tithe. But I'm going to keep a little bit aside. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Even though, you know, you got bills, this bill to pay, that bill to pay, but your tithe is a bill that you pay to God. And you can't lie and say you did it when you didn't. And that's just something that God put in my heart, because you can't negotiate with God either about doing what you know is right. Just do it. Just do it. Because you're not lying to me. You're lying to God. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day as we get into your genealogy of the 12 tribes of Israel. Father God, let me be able to pronounce these names a lot better than I did yesterday. In Jesus' name. Please turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 5 through chapter 6. Our psalm for this morning is the 77th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs is Proverbs number 19, verses 10 through 12. And our title is coming out of the book of Acts, chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 21. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of this mighty word this morning. And again, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you all. Again, we all miss Mother Valerie. Please keep her in your prayers as she vacations for the summer in, whew, nice locale. I miss her, and she sent me pictures, and I'm like, oh, that looks beautiful. So let's get into it now. And it says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. And remember, that's how the sons of Joseph became part of the 12 tribes, and that was Manasseh. And Ephraim, they became part of the 12 tribes because Reuben went in and messed around with his one of his brother's mama as well as his daddy's wife. Come on now, just calling it nasty. And Levi does not get land. Their stuff is given to them through their offerings and the priesthood. So that's how it became 12 tribes. Was because it did not include Reuben and Levi. Even though they are part of it, the birthright went to Ephraim and Manasseh. And so as we continue, it says this. And it says, of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, was Cana, Tielu, Hezron, Carmi. The sons of Joel were Shemaiah, his son Gog, his son Shammai, Hashemi, his son Micah, his son Raya, his son Baal, his son Bera, his son Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, carried into captivity. He was leader of the Reubenites, and his brethren by their families, when the genealogy of their generations was registered, the chief Jael, Zechariah, Bela, the sons of Asa, the sons of Shema, the sons of Joel, who dwelt in Ora as far as Nebo and Melmion. Eastward, they settled as far as the entrance of the wilderness, this side of the river Euphrates, which, by the way, is drying up. That is another whole area, because what happened is, in these thousands of years that the Euphrates has been running through the Middle, what they call now the Middle East, there, Iraq, Samaria, I believe, those places, as it's coming through, different ones decided to build dams, and it threw off the river. It comes through Turkey. The river comes from the mountains of Turkey and the ice and all that, and it goes down river all the way into Egypt, or into Africa, I guess you could say. And it's starting to dry up. And we as Christians need to be looking at these signs that are happening. The Euphrates, we all know, was one of the rivers that flowed into the Garden of Eden as well. So we need to keep a check on things that are going on. But the river Euphrates, because their cattle had multiplied in the land of Galilee. And the fact of, again, it was feeding cattle back then, thousands of years ago. And it has flowed all the way up to now. And man, with ourselves, doing things against God, are drying it up. And we need to be praying. And praying some more. But they are finding things. Now, as it dries up, they're finding scrolls. They're finding almost underground cities. They're finding all kinds of stuff that has been in that river. So we need to keep your ears and your eyes peeled on things that are going on in the religious world because things are happening quick and in a hurry, and we need to continue looking up, because Jesus, he is coming, and it's going to be before we know it, he will be here. The question is, will we be ready? Are your bag talking, your spiritual bag, your fruit of the Spirit, all the things that you need to go with God? His mother says, I want to be raptured up. I want my sons raptured up. I want my daughter and my grandchildren and all those that I love raptured up. I don't want to be left in this wicked world, because we all know the mark of the beast is coming. And it's not going to be what you think. It's going to be done in a way that's evil and awful. And we better be prepared. Get your gardens planted. Get your stuff in order. And I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to me too. It making all kind of sense why God had me tear up something and build, put land down. I'm going to have to make some gardens and start doing some digging and having food that's my own. He gave me apple and pear trees. Now I'm going to have to make that garden coming up, because God is coming back. And we need to be prepared. And it says, and the children of Gad dwelt next to them in the land of Bashan, as far as Selkah. Joel was the chief, Shapham the next, then Janai and Shaphat and Bashan, and their brethren of their father's house, Michael, Meshullam, Sheba, Jori, Jakin, Zia, and Eber, seven in all. These are the children of Ibihel, the son of Horeb, the son of Jerah, the son of Gilead, the son of Michael, the son of Jeshurai, the son of Jato, the son of Buz, Ai, the son of Abadiel, the son of Guni, the son of was chief of the father's house. And the Gideites dwelt in Gilead, in Bashan, and in its villages, and in all the common land of Sharon within their borders. All these were registered by genealogies in the days of Jotham, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. The sons of Reuben, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, had 44,760 valiant men able to bear shield and sword, to shoot with the bow, and skillful in war, who went to war. They made war with the Hagarites, the Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all who were with them. But they cried out to God in the battle. He heeded their prayer, because they put their trust in him. They took away their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 of their sheep, 200 of their donkeys, also 100,000 of their men. But many fell dead, because the war was God's, and they dwelt in their place until the captivity. So the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. Their numbers increased from Bashan to Baal Hermon, that is, to Senara and Mount Hermon. These were the heads of their father's houses, Epher, Ishai, Elo, Ezrael, Jeremiah, Hadaviah, and Jadiel. They were mighty men of valor, famous men and heads of their fathers' houses. And they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers, and played the harlot after the gods, them little g's, of the peoples of the land, whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Halah, Haber, Hera, and the river of Gozan to this day. Chapter 6 of 1 Chronicles. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzal. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. And the sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abu, Eliza, and Itamar. Eliza begot Phinehas, and Phinehas begot Abishai. Abishai begot Bucky, and Bucky begot Uzzah. Uzzah begot Zerahiah, and Zerahiah begot Milrath, and Milrath begot Mariah begot Etta begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Ahmad, and Ahmad begot Azira, and Azira begot Jonan, and Jonan begot Azira. It was he who ministered as priest in the temple of Solomon built in Jerusalem. Azira begot Amariah, and Amariah begot Etub, and Etub begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Shalom, and Shalom begot Hilkiah, and Hilkiah begot Azariah, and Azariah begot Shariah, and Shariah begot Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went into captivity when the Lord carried Judah and Jerusalem into captivity by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon, Libni, Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Ezar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And the sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushai. Now these are the families of the Levites according to their fathers. Of Gershon were Libni, his son Jahath, his son Zemiah, his son John, his son Edo, his son Zerah, his son Jethari, his son. The sons of Kohath were Aminadab, his son, Kohath, his son, Ezra, his son, Elkanah, his son, Abishaph, his son, Issa, his son, Tiath, his son, Uro, his son, Uzziah, his son, and Shoah, his son. The Kenai were Amasai, Ahimoth. As for Akaniah, the sons of Akaniah were Zophiah, his son, Nahath, his son, Elab, his son, Joram, his son, and Akaniah, his son. The sons of Samuel were Joel, the firstborn, and Abdad, the second. The sons of Mari were Mealai, Libna, his son, Shammai, his son, Uzziah, his son, Shemaiah's son, Haggath, his son, and Asaiah, his son. Now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of the song in the house of the Lord. After the ark came to rest, they were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. And these are the sons who ministered with their sons. Of the sons of the Kohites were Heman, the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Zupha, the son of Elkanah, the son of Medad, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azira, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tehath, the son of Issa, the son of Ebisaph, the son of Korah, the son of Issar, the son of Korah, the son of Levi, the son of Idra, and his brother Asaph, the who stood at his right hand, was Asaph, the son of Berechiah, the son of Shimei, the son of Michael, the son of Bethsaiah, the son of Melchiah, Makaja, the son of Ethne, the son of Zerah, the son of Adiah, the son of Ethan, the son of Zimai, the son of Semai, the son of Jahath, the son of Goshen, the son of Levi. Their brother, the sons of Mari, on the left hand were Ethan, the son of Kish, the son of Ebdai, the son of Hishmaiah, the son of Amaziah, the son of Elkiah, the son of Mazi, the son of Manad, the son of Shemar, the son of Mila, the son of Mishad, the son of Mari, the son of Levi. And their brethren, the Levites, were appointed to every kind of service of the tabernacle to the house of God. But Aaron and his sons offer sacrifices on the altar of burnt offerings and on the altar of incense for all the work of the Most High, Most Holy Place, and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. Now these are the sons of Aaron, Eleazar, his son, Phinehas, his son, Abishai, his son, Pekah, his son, Uzi, his son, Zerahiah, his son, Meraioth, his son, Amariah, his son, Etub, his son, Zadok, his son, and Ahmaz, his son. Now these are the dwelling places without their settlements in their territory, for they were given by lot to the sons of Aaron of the family of the Aharites. They gave them Hebron in the land of Judah, with its surrounding common lands, but the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and to the sons of Aaron they gave one of the cities of refuge, Hebron, also Libnah with its common lands, Jatar, Ishtamoa with its common lands, Elon with its common lands, Debir with its common lands, Ashen with its common lands, and Beth Shemesh with its common lands, and from the tribe of Benjamin, Geba with its common lands, Elameth with its common lands, and Ananoth with its common lands. All their cities among their families were 13. To the rest of the families of the tribe of the Korahites, they gave by lot 10 cities from half the tribe of Manasseh. And to the sons of Gershon, throughout their families, they gave 13 cities with the tribes of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. To the sons of Merari, throughout their families, they gave 12 cities, from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, from the tribe of Zebulun. So the children of Israel gave these cities common lands to the Levites, and they gave a lot from the tribe of the children of Judah, from the tribe of the children of Simeon, and from the tribe of the children of Benjamin, these cities which are called by their names. Now some of the families of the sons of Korah were given cities as their territory from the tribe of Ephraim, and they gave them one of the cities of refuge, Shechem, with its common lands in the mountains of Ephraim, also Giza with its common lands, Jokneam with its common lands, Beth Horon with its common lands, Ajalon with its common lands, and Gath Rimmon with its common lands, and from the half tribe of Manasseh, Anar with its common lands, and Bilim with its common lands, for the rest of the family of the sons of Korah. From the family of the half tribe of Manasseh, the sons of Gershon were given Golan in Bashan with its common lands, Ashtaroth with its common lands, and from the tribe of Issachar, Kedesh with its common lands, Debirath with its common lands, Ramah with its common lands, and Enim with its common lands, and from the tribe of Asher, Marshall with its common lands, Abdon with its common lands, Hukok with its common lands, Rohab with its common lands, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee with its common lands, Ammon with its common lands, and Karshathim with its common lands. From the tribe of Zebulun, the rest of the children of Merari were given Rimmon with its common lands, Tabor with its common lands, and on the other side of the Jordan across from Jericho, on the east side of the Jordan, they were given from the tribe of Reuben, Beza in the wilderness with its common lands, Jazai, with its common lands, Kedemoth with its common lands, and Nephath with its common lands, and from the tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with its common lands, Mahani with its common lands, Heshbon with its common lands, and Jadon with its common lands. Again, the Levites received an allotment from the different tribes and their common lands, so that they had the cattle, they had everything they needed to make the offerings for people. So, thing is broken down in the word of the Lord. All we have to do is read it. And as we get into our main lesson this morning in the book of Acts and in our Psalms, and in our Psalms is a Psalm of Asa, who was again a Levite, the chief musician to Jotham, a Psalm of Asa. And again, what did it say that they did in the house of the Lord? Everything and everyone is broken down by what they did for God. And we know that they were the musicians. You know, they ministered in the house of God through music. You know, and it says that these are the men whom David appointed over the service of the song in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest. They were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. And so everybody who was part of this ministry in the house of God, the singers, the writers, they were all written in the book of Chronicles. And it tells us, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. Hallelujah. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. We got to go to God with everything. I cried out, not to my mama, not to my daddy, not to my cousin, not to boo-booing them down the street. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. We got to cry out to God for whatever the situation, for whoever is sick and shut in, for whoever doing what they're doing, they do for God. And we got to do what we do for God. We got to pray. We got to pray until something happens. We need to learn how to push. And as we go into our Proverbs chapter 19, verses 10 through 12, it says, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. The discretion of a man makes him slower to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favorite is the dew of Aaron. I'm sorry, the dew on the grass. I got a little carried away there. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favorite is like dew on the grass. Hallelujah. Are you giving your all to God today? We can never outbeat God in anything. We got to call on the name of Jesus. Whatever you're going through, whoever is going through, call on the name of Jesus. And I guarantee you, you will be saved. God loves us, and he loves us completely and totally. We got to learn how to say the name Jesus. And it tells us the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. And we know that is hard to do, but that's highlightable. And it says many of us get into real trouble in our relationship because we insist on being right. We demand that everyone see things our way. And because we refuse to overlook a transgression, we end up alienating our friends and family. Wow, that's a word. Thank you, Dr. Sam. And I'm going to read that one more time so that gets into your spirit. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. We can't jump up and be ready to cuss somebody out, be ready to fight, be ready to go off. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, you don't need to give anybody a piece of your mind because you're going to need it one day. You know, I would say that when I meet people with Alzheimer's, did they give somebody a piece of their mind? and now they need it and don't have it. You don't give anything away that God has given you. You don't have to go off and be mad. And it says, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. You know when people are doing you wrong. You know when he says, she says. We've got to stop and think before we go off. And I love what Dr. Stanley says one more time. Many of us get into real trouble in our relationships because we insist on being right. How many of us, my hands up, have had those moments, my way or the highway kind of attitude. God had to work with me. And so we demand that everyone see things our way. I know what I'm doing. I have a son that's like that. He will tell you in a minute he knows what he's doing. And you're like, okay, I'm going to sit back here. Once you mess up, then you come back to me. And he will never, stubborn as the day is long. Will mess up, but he's going to tell you he messed up. He's going to go back in and try to fix up what he messed up because he had to do it his way. And because we refuse to overlook transgressions, we end up alienating our friends and family. I'm not going to speak to my auntie because she took my grandmama's ring and she won't give it to me. And my grandmama told me, and she know my grandmama said that I get her ring. And it ain't fair that she took it. And it's not fair that we lose our mind. I ain't going to a funeral, thief. I'm not doing it. But you don't know that in her will, she apologized. And in her will, she gives you the ring back. And it's in a safe deposit box, waiting for you. But because you're honoring and hateful, you're missing out. You got to stop and tell God, please. And as we get into our main topic for this morning, Sapphira and Ananias, to lie to God, thought that they was just lying to Peter, but didn't understand, no, you're not lying to Peter, you're lying to God. And this is what the word of God says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of the lay and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now understand, he had made a promise and a pact to give half, or most, or all, well, proceeds. And understand, he told him, you're not telling the truth. So let's go back and start again. And it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? God had put in Peter's heart through the Holy Spirit. He's not giving you everything. And he says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to me, but to God. Why have you conceived in your heart, I'm going to keep this back? All you have to do is say, I sold some stuff, but I kept a little bit back. For my truth of a man, it's not about you and them, but you don't have to lie about it. All you had to say was, yeah, I did. I kept a little back. I didn't give you everything. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last, died on the spot. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said yes for so much. All she had to say was no. But oh, yes for so much. And you're like, girl, you just messed up. Gonna get another chance. You're not gonna get another chance. And that's like when Jesus comes back. If we are caught in our sin, we will not get another chance to repent, to say, forgive me. You're caught. He's gone. You lost your captain. And you left behind. Because you got busted in your sin. We got to understand. When that trumpet sounds, you've got to be ready. She said, yes, for so much, so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, bound her dead, and carried her out and buried her with her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Through the hand of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. The people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at least the shadow of Peter. Come on now. You know you filled up when your shadow will heal folks. Peter was all that. It took him a time to get there. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter was asked to feed the sheep of God. Peter was told, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Now Peter is doing what he was called to do. He said yes. Yes to Jesus. Yes to the Father. Yes to the Holy Spirit. And God blessed him to heal with his shadow. Come on now. And I'm going to read it again, verse 15, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. When the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the same common prison. But at night, come on now, this is one of my favorite words. But at night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Woo, hallelujah. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him whom came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Ah, ma'am, they are already out. The angel of God has come and allowed his children come out to go and preach the word. Don't mess with God. He's got it. Hallelujah. They thought they was going to go get them out of jail. They already out of jail, already preaching in the synagogue before you ever got up. Come on now. Don't tell me what God can't do. And Acts 5 and 11, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. The fear of God purifies the church and puts it in a reverent frame of mind. Whew, that's a mighty word from Dr. Stanley. The fear of God purifies the church and puts it in a reverent frame of mind and encourages God to do amazing things. Hallelujah. And this is, and when we fear God, the fear of men will never dissuade us from doing God's will. People cannot take you to heaven or to hell. But if you follow after the bad crowd and you leave this earth because you was involved with the wrong thing, you can damn yourself to hell. Because no one has a heaven or a hell to put you in. Only God. And it says, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. God did not break the disciples out of prison so they could escape to safety. He freed them out so that they could go right back to where and what they had been doing. God wants his words of life to go forth. And I'm sorry, y'all. I thought that I was good and awake, but the devil is busy, and I rebuke and bind that sleepy spirit in the name of Jesus, because I got to go to work. And I have to say it again. God wants his word of life to go forth. Hallelujah. God wants it, not me, but God. We got to have a but God in our spirit. We got to have a, I know that my daddy God loves me. And he said, what place should money take in my life? You know, we know that Ananias and Sapphira, they got greedy. They got greedy and lied to God and lost their life. We don't want to lie and lose our life. Just do what you're supposed to do. Pay what you're supposed to pay. Go where you're supposed to go. And God will do the rest. Hallelujah. He will open doors for you. And it said, what place should money take in my life? But some money becomes central. They worship money, which means that they devote most of their time, energy, and attention to its gain and use. They regard money as the key to power and prestige. When we see that every day. Every time you turn on a television, it's some crazy reality show where you can win $100,000, where you can win $20,000, where you can win $10,000 if you figure out this puzzle. Oh, and then let's not forget, you can go into this house and you can come out with a husband or a wife, $20,000, and you are $100,000. You know, it's like, come on, y'all. You know, and it breaks your heart when you see people of God doing stuff. And you're like, wait a minute now. I follow you. I like you. I think you are all that. Why are you doing this show with these half-naked people hooking up to find a wife? Think that through. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You know, you see folks falling because they got caught up in money and power. And it says, oh, I never worship the idol of finance, you may say. But ask yourself these questions. How much time do I spend every day thinking about my financial life, my income, my bills, my past, and my upcoming purchases? My investments in comparison to how much time do I spend meditating on God's word. Let's say if that shoe fits, ooh, that's a little tight. How much time do I spend every week working, shopping, or dealing with money? Be sure to include trips to automatic teller machines and the bank, discussion with your spouse about budgets or spending plans and habits, and the time you spend paying bills and balancing your checking account. In comparison, how much time do I spend in prayer, reading my Bible, and or participating in church-related activities and outreach? Oh, my God, I got to go to church again. I'm so tired of having to be in church. You know, you in church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you're back again on Sunday. Every day in church, I don't know why we got to do it. It don't take all of that to be a Christian. It don't take all of that, you know, whining and complaining. about going to church. But when it comes to that store, ooh, girl, you know they got a sale at Bath & Body. You can get 3 for 1. And, oh, and you know they got a real big sale. And, you know, I'm going over to TJ Maxx because they got, ooh, these really great-looking pair of shoes that I want. Girl, I ain't going to church tonight. I'm going shopping. As I say, is that shoe fitting? We got to be very, very careful. What do we do? What do we allow things and money and finance and all that stuff, you know, to get in the way of our time with God? You know, the latest movie, I've been known, you know, to leave church and go to the movies. I'm just speaking for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. You know, we got to be awful careful. What do we spend the majority of our time doing? Do we spend it with God or do we spend it on ourselves? Am I more likely to discuss with my family and friends a hot stock tip, the cost of an item or a new business opportunity or an insight I have into God's word? You know, and I'm going to add this, or do I talk about the game and how much I bet on it? Or do I talk about the lottery being almost $100 million, you know, and how I'm going to play this number, you know, because, you know, I'm going to get rich, you know, but I always want to do it, but I'm, you know. No. We got to stop and take a minute. We got to stop and spend some time with God. Thank you for joining me this morning as we spend time with God and time in his word. You know, and as Dr. Stanley says, an insight I have into God's word, the major truths of last Sunday's sermon, or a way in which the Holy Spirit has helped me during the day. Which conversation is more likely to attract a greater amount of my energy, enthusiasm, or concern? You may say that you trust God in every area of your life, but do you ever conduct business transactions, make purchases and investments, and enter into money-making opportunities without asking God's opinion or seeking God's wisdom? And I'm going to tell you, when you think you're speaking to God, you got to ask yourself, will it benefit me in the long run, or am I trying to get something short-term and not looking at the big picture? And if the big picture does not fit into what's right for you, it is not God speaking back. I had to learn the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy, because the enemy will take you down the wrong road. You've got to ask God. God will delay, because he's trying to get your attention. And if you try to do everything, you realize, I'm messing up. I am messing up, and you find yourself than what you were before, because you thought you were talking to God and you were not. You were talking to the enemy. And I'm finding out every day the enemy will do whatever he can to knock you off your square. You got to trust God that you don't need to do this, that, or the other, because God will provide. And it tells us this, and it says, God's opinion of seeking, asking God's opinion or seeking God's wisdom. When you leave God out of your financial life, you are in grave danger of making money your idol. Nothing we do can we leave God out of it. We got to always seek God first. Whatever it is, God will stretch it. God will take you where you need to go. I've been there. I know it. So how can you make sure you don't fall into such a deadly trap? You can begin by focusing on Philippians 4:19, where God promises to supply all your needs. All of us have very specific needs, emotional, physical, material, mental, and spiritual. God knows that our needs must be met, Matthew 6:32. If we are to carry out the complete life plan he has ordained for us by making intimacy with God your number one priority in life, you can be assured that he will meet all those needs. Jesus said it like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. And that's what we got to have in our spirit. We've got to seek God first, because you're not lying to anybody, but you cannot lie to God. You can lie to everybody else, but you cannot lie to God. You cannot say, I gave God everything, when you know you didn't. You can't say, I gave all my tithes, when you know you didn't. You can't say, I'm doing this, that, and the other, when you didn't. God knows your heart. God knows things about you. God knows what you ate last night. The question is, are you doing what you're doing for yourself, or are you doing it for God? God sees past our surfaces, and you cannot lie to God. What did Peter tell him? Peter told him right up front. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Why it remained was not your own, and after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. We have to understand that what we conceive in our heart, we're not lying to anybody, but we are lying to God. And God will take control. What happened to them? Died on the spot because they were lying to men. But it wasn't to men they were lying to. They were lying to God. And we have to be careful that we don't lie to God. If there's anyone that has a word that God has given you for today, please push that number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. We have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Whew, what a word. When we continue to worship, our worries will continue to wither. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Understand, when we continue to worship and give everything, all your situations to God, our worries will continue to wither. Don't worry, just pray. Hallelujah. That is a word from my sister in Christ. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And know that God has got you. And I love our word for this morning. We may be just a minute over, but I just need to give this word. It says nothing to condemn. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord of my freedom, you have covered my every weakness and failure with your incredible love. There is nothing in my submitted life outside your grace. Nothing is out of bounds. You reach every part. God of abundance, you don't lack in mercy. You are a waterfall of unending kindness flowing over your people. Your love brings the relief from my way down soul longs for. God, may I daily remember that there is no condemnation for me because I am yours. You without judgment instead release your mercy over my life. How could I begin to thank you? I will walk confidence of your forgiveness, not beating myself up for mistakes I make along the way. You have saved me from a life of guilt and shame. It wasn't my own good intentions or thoughtful deeds that got me out of that mess. Thank you for a clean slate. When you make mistakes, do you feel the weight of condemnation or the relief of God's covering grace? All you have to do is ask God, what do I do, Lord, to be saved? And he will tell you. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and watch everything else fall into place. Again, what's done in the dark, God always brings it to the light. The lies that you tell to man, God will show up and show out. We wonder why folks going through, because they try to lie to God. But again, thank God that he is a forgiving God, that he is a loving God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once you give your life and your finances and all those extra things to God, watch him work in your life. You don't have to lie. Just tell the truth and stand on the word of God. Again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent from each other. May God watch over you, bless you, and keep you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. May his blessings overflow in each and every one of you. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of this word. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap because I got to go to work. Love you all and have a great day. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. Be blessed and join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Tell a friend, text a friend, call a friend, post it on your social media, and have a great day. It's a wrap.